All right, well, we're going to go to the phone lines now and tell you if you've ever wondered what goes into maintaining not just your yard, but a whole 18-hole golf course of grass and plants and all that, especially when you're on television and the whole world can see it. We've got Brad Hines with us over there from Lock and Terra to talk a little bit about that. Hey, Brad, how you doing today?
I'm doing great today, thanks.
Well, let's make a segue here. Now, Brad, what is your title over there at Lock and Terra?
Actually, my title is Senior Agronomist.
I guess you'd call it a
Director of Agronomy.
Okay. So we'll make a segue here, Brad.
He's the grass man.
Okay.
Right.
Do you have any deer trouble over there at Lock and Terra?
Actually, no trouble, but we do have deer on the property. No trouble from the deer.
Okay.
If you want to talk pigs, we can talk trouble with pigs.
Pigs, yeah. So we should be content with our deer and not wish
for pigs.
Oh, that's
for sure, yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's talk
about that pork is good mixed into that deer sausage.
Don't.
You know what I mean? You put a little pork in with that deer sausage. Mmm.
Well, Brad, the Valero Lock and Terra, the Valero Texas Open at Lock and Terra is coming up, the 18th to the 24th. So you've got to make sure that you've got the course in perfect condition. Some of the obvious challenges are weather and the area. Let me ask you, what are the challenges that you face in doing that?
Well, this year is extremes because we haven't had any rain leading up to the event. And years past, we can almost always count on a little rain in September, but I'm not counting on that this year, so our biggest
challenge... It's coming tomorrow.
Is it tomorrow?
Well, that's, of course, Jerry and I are optimists.
I've seen that on the weather every day.
Yeah, they said 60% today. Well, they changed it to 60% tomorrow now on the weather station.
It took a while to get out.
So our biggest challenge is getting the course ready and keeping it as irrigated as possible with kind of the restrictions everybody else is under right now.
Yeah. And you guys do your best to follow those same restrictions.
Oh, yeah. We're kind of under the same guidelines.
Yeah. Do you have you use recycled water?
No, we're on well water here.
Okay.
So what kind of grasses do you have that you need to worry about? And then what are some other elements that you take into consideration, too? I mean, trees, other landscape?
Well, on the golf course, everything is Bermuda grass during the summer. Tiff Dwarf, which is a smaller version of the Bermuda grass that is able to be cut a little bit lower for the greens. Everything else is a 419 Bermuda grass, and obviously it's
How often do you guys aerate and top dress?
We top dress quite often on the greens. It's kind of required with that type of grass.
So like once a month or?
No, we go almost weekly.
Oh, wow, yeah.
A little bit of sand on there.
Because we constantly get calls here, can we top dress anytime? We always say, well, golf courses do it quite often, but I didn't realize it was every week.
Well, on the greens you do almost weekly.
Uh-huh.
We do always some type of practice on the greens, either verticutting or top dressing, and because of the tournament, we're kind of dictated on how many times we can aerate the greens. We would like to do a little bit more, but when you get 8 weeks out of the event, that's the last time we can aerify.
The
tournament kind of dictates some of the cultural practices we do.
So you'll have to do a lot of catch-up after the tournament, then,
well,
too.
Well, we would like to do it then, too, but then there's so much play. That's kind of our busy season, so we're kind of locked in there, too. But we pick it up in the following spring and summer.
But it's worth it to have that tournament, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's always a pleasure to have the PGA come to your facility.
Now, you know, one of the things if you're a hacker like myself, I don't know how much the pros do it, but gosh, that course gets a lot of abuse, especially when you've through normal play, maybe even more through the regular play leading up to it with divots and golf carts and all that. Do you have to take those into consideration in preparing the course?
Oh, we sure do. This year, because of the lack of moisture, we've actually gone to cart path only.
Uh-huh.
And we normally do that 30 days out anyway, but we went about a week to 2 weeks earlier this year, just trying to keep the carts and the wear and tear off of the rough. Trying to establish some rough out there without much rain is kind of tough. As far as divots, it's an ongoing, regardless of who's playing out there.
We're
always out filling divots. And
well, even I was watching golf on TV the other day, and it looked like somebody had gone through with a hoe on some of those where their fairways.
You know. Yeah, they chew it up pretty good. That's one thing about the professionals. They know how to hit that ball right.
Don't you want to go out there and just slap them when they make a big old hole in the grass?
Well,
are you able to watch when they're pumping holes in your green?
Yeah, that's kind of the downtime for us. When they're actually out playing, there's not much for us to do. So we like to get out there and watch a little golf, too.
But doesn't it hurt you when they make a hole in that grass?
Well, not
as
too
hard
bad.
As you've worked.
Well, I bet it hurts just as much to have all those people that you have traffic control.
Yeah, that is tough when the foot traffic really beats it up. But that's what the tournament's all about, to let people come out and watch
event. So the tournament will really get a lot of traffic on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So when they're through playing Thursday, for instance, do you have? You talked about y'all don't do much, but is there anything that you do? Say Thursday after the last person gets off the course, do you all do maintenance? Is there like an emergency plan? All right, we know these things have happened, and we know there's, everybody's kind of walked through and stuff. So here's what we're gonna do: go. Could
right.
You aerate?
Exactly. We've got a kind of a split crew where we come in early in the morning at 3:30 in the morning, and there's certain things we do prior to the golf going out, and then the last player as they leave certain holes, and we follow in behind, and then we have an evening crew same crew, but we just kind of split shift. We come back in the evenings and perform different operations in the evening. We mow greens and tees in the morning,
right.
And then we'll mow fairways and fill divots in the afternoon into the evening.
Now, when you watch, do you end up watching it on TV? And
usually not, because I'm here.
Okay.
Sometimes we'll record it and watch it later. Watch the highlights on the...
So maybe y'all ought to hire a little quick guy that can run real fast, and when they do one of those divots, and then they move on off, then he runs quick on there and gets and puts it back in the hole and puts a little...
Well, I think that should be a responsibility of the caddy to fill them up with sand.
Yeah, that's what the caddy does.
Those bags aren't big enough anyway.
Well, you fill it up...
Do they really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Fill it up with... I know that we'll have, sand on the carts, and you're supposed to just pour it in. So what is the recommended thing as a golfer? Should I just pour sand, or should I try to find that little patch of grass that I've dug up and replace
it? Well, in your case, you probably hasn't hit it very far.
So it's not a long walk.
Normally it's the sand. You want to put the sand back, because the Bermuda grass is going to grow back from the roots and the stolons and rhizomes that are there.
All right, so now, Brett, are you a homeowner?
I am.
All right, so what have you learned from the golf course that you've taken to your home lawn that our listeners would benefit from?
Or is it like a mechanic that his car is constantly breaking down?
No, I hope not. No, my yard looks pretty good, and I'm kind of surprised, because I under the same water restrictions, you're only watering once a week, and it seems...
What do you mean you're surprised? We told you it worked.
Well, it does. not surprised that it works, but I like the fact that it... I guess that is being surprising. It does work real well. So,
do you have did y'all ask them what kind of grass they have on the greens?
Bermuda, it's all Bermuda.
Yep, Tiff Dwarf on the greens and
Tiff Dwarf.
Yep, 419.
Tiff Way on the
fairway. Just 419 everywhere else on the golf course.
419, okay.
What about all the new turf varieties, Brad? Are you guys got a little experimental patch someplace, or do you just rely on researchers to let you know if and when there's anything that might be better?
Well, to be honest, the company I work with a management company called Troon Golf, and we've got golf courses all over the world, and that's kind of a school around the world where we see different grasses grown all over the world, and we kind of take that information and gather it, especially when we do new projects and new golf courses, and we know what works well in which climate, and we try to incorporate those grasses in the best climate possible. But right next door is our other golf course, the Palmer course, and we have a different grass on those greens, and they're completely different, the type of maintenance and cultural practices, just even though they're right across the street.
What kind of turf is there?
It's called a Tiff Eagle.
Oh, still a Bermuda, though.
It is. It's a Bermuda. Mm-hmm. It's one of the new Ultra Dwarfs that has come out, and a little bit more challenging over there, actually.
You keep saying Tiff. That's all from Georgia. Are they the leaders in golf course grasses?
Well, I would imagine, especially in the ultra dwarfs that people are using on their greens.
What kind of grass do you have in your yard?
I've got St. Augustine in the front, and because I didn't like to walk on the St. Augustine, I've got Bermuda in the back.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have dogs, do you?
I do have a dog.
There you go.
And that
big
was
dog?
One of the reasons
Is
I wanted
it a big
to,
dog?
A little dog.
Little dog? Oh, wait.
Yep.
That don't matter. You got a big dog, you better have Tiff Way or one of those Tiffs.
How about how would a person like you prepare yourself for a big job like this, Brad? And then how do you keep up, continuing ed and everything? Because this is a constantly real competitive field and changing all the time, especially if you're dealing with these tournaments.
Right.
How do you? Where do you go? Do you go to school?
I did. I received a degree at Penn State University,
mm-hmm.
their turf grass program, and. I've been in this industry now for 23 years and grown grass in all sorts of, from Colorado to California to Arizona and even a stint over in China. So.
All right, well, let me phrase my question differently then.
Okay.
If you're at a party and you tell people what you do,
right.
Is there next question about their lawn and what they should do about it?
Most of the time it is. You know, somebody always has a question on if they're doing the right thing or
uh-huh.
are they, I guess most of the times I hear somebody say they want to put a putting green in their backyard. And I said, well, first you got to buy a $5,000 mower. And they say, well, I'm not going to do that now.
Well, they can get the little, it's not the same role, though, if you get the plastic.
No.
And you guys do stuff for the community, too. One of the issues is, you know, there's not everybody golfs and golf. You know, especially now when we're looking at droughts, you know, golf courses use a lot of resources. So how do you guys prepare for that part of the community that doesn't golf, to explain, you know, how a golf course fits into the community and how important it is here in San Antonio?
Right. Well, I guess I haven't had to explain that to too many people, but my thought on that is, people are buying land, and I guess you'd ask them, what would you rather see on that piece of land, a retail store, concrete and houses, or would you like to see a nice golf course, something that can actually filter back the water through the ground and clean up that water that's being used and make it reusable for everybody, or would you rather have a house and retail that's possibly having oil and other things run down the drain? And
yeah, and here in San Antonio, too, we have Golf Course San Antonio, where the golf courses are rated in terms of, youth programs, what they contribute to the community. The open space is a big deal. Golf course is getting better, too, at just like we homeowners are on which pesticides they use and using them right. And so important part of our community and getting more and more important.
All right, so Brad, well, listen, what else can you offer too? And your one piece of advice, if you will, for the home lawn or the person fighting that much smaller patch of ground than you are. What's the one thing that they definitely need to do, or what's your advice to them?
Well, I think probably less water and do more inspecting. Figure out why you're having problems, because it's not always. To throw fertilizer and chemicals at it.
Yeah, well, that's we probably should ask that question too. Every time anybody has a problem here, they say, "Well, how can I fertilize? What fertilizer can I put in to solve the problem?" So diagnosis is really important.
Right.
What about the tournament now?
Coming up the 18th to the 24th,
uh-huh.
and got a lot of good people coming up there, and it's looking to be pretty exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, we got a great field. Bernhard Langer is coming. Justin Leonard will be back. Nick Price. And
Now, where are you from?
Actually, I'd say Colorado. I grew up in Colorado.
Okay, and you know, people who don't golf, there is a people who Texans love Texas golfers. You mentioned Justin Leonard and stuff, but there is a special skill required, I think, in learning to golf in Texas because of the turf that you have to deal with and because of the hardness of the ground and the fact that it sort of gets beaten up a little. I mean, I've played golf in only a couple other places, but played in Florida, and you can make big old divots in Florida. You can go down for a while. Here, you don't have as much soil, so consequently your it's a little tougher, isn't it?
I think so. Probably anything in Florida, you're going to be playing off a sand base, which the ball's going to land a little bit softer, and regardless if it's hot or wet out, it's going to be about the same. But here in Texas, when it starts to get dry and firm, that ball is definitely going to roll a little different.
Brad, we're not going to let Milton, though, get away with saying that the type of turf and the background affects his game.
No, it's not that. You look at the history of Texas golfers. They're some of the toughest golfers, and they're some of the most winning golfers. Texas golfers are for championships. British Open they always talk about the British Open having similar conditions with wind. I don't know how the ground is, if the ground is as tough, but Texans...
Well, some of those English golf courses are even hard to hike on, let alone golf on.
I like that Lee Trevino. Wasn't he the one got struck by lightning and finished the game anyway or some such thing?
I don't know, he got struck by lightning.
He got struck by lightning, didn't he?
I don't know if he finished or not.
Oh.
Brad, do you have any...
He thought he was finished.
I'm sure he did.
Yeah.
That just goes to show you, don't raise your golf club and say some obscene words out on the golf course.
Well, that's one of his jokes, or at least he's credited with it, is the next time he's going to play with a one iron, because even God can't hit a one iron. stop it. Hey, Brad, thanks a bunch. And, of course, tickets are available all over the place.
Yep, at most Valero stations. And the good people at Golf San Antonio are looking for more volunteers if anyone would be interested in coming out.
So how do they do that?
Yeah, talk about that. That's a lot of fun.
I guess to go to golfsanantonio.org, and they've got some information there at the website.
Okay.
They are looking for some volunteers, and there's a lot of good things that come with volunteering. So.
Oh, yeah, and I will tell you that people do it year after year. In fact, they cancel or they take their vacation around volunteering at the Texas Open. So people love it. They really
when did it come back?
It's the 18th to the 24th.
It'll be cool by then.
Yeah. That's what you're predicting.
Hope it doesn't get rained out.
No.
I don't know if Brad's worried about that.
No, I would take the rain.
Thanks, Brad. You take care.
Okay, thank
Bye,
you.
Bye, Brad.
All right,
Bye
again,
now.
As he mentioned, the tickets are available. In fact, what you need to do, too, is go to that website because there are tickets that you can buy from local schools. You get a discount on the tickets, and the proceeds benefit the schools. The Valero Texas Open at La Cantera, they strong in charitable support. In fact, this year their goal is to raise $6 million for the community. And unless something goes terribly wrong, I think actually they've already surpassed it with the Birdies for Charities, with the school program where kids can sell tickets at a discount and keep the proceeds for the school. And all you have to do, basically it's like our Birdathon or anything else, is the Birdies for Charities is pledge a little bit amount of money for per birdie that's hit.
And that's what I wanted to Brad to bring out. Almost every golf course has a program of youth support and community support, and
this tournament is big on that. So is the AT&T Championship. They're both very big in giving back to the community. Encourage you, if you're looking for something to support. Plus, they have a whole lot of fun out there. They have activities literally for every age group and every gender. You can have fun even if you're not a golfer out there during that week.
Especially if it's 100 degrees out there, that's really fun.
Is it?
Every gender.
Every
gender?
Male and female.
Keep going. Move right on.
Okay.
You don't give him a chance to...
I know. When he's thinking.
Yeah, but you look at him and he's going to think of something that we don't want to hear.
It's true. You've got to learn that by now.
Yeah.
We'll take a quick break and come back with more of your gardening comments and questions and all that. You're listening to Milberger's Gardening South Texas with Dr. Calvin Finch and Dr. Jerry Parsons. I'm Milton Glick. We'll talk to you in just a moment on AM 930 KLUP.